Good news and positivity in tough times. We've all been told to keep our chin up and think positive thoughts. Sometimes, well, often, it's not that easy. But there is research that shows real benefits to focusing on the good that's out there, especially when things are challenging. And for many people, it is pretty tough right now. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, instead of talking about all the reasons why 2021 is not the best of times, today we're going to turn things around. Tell us what is going well out there. We want to hear the good news from your neighborhood or town, what you've encountered or done that you want to share. And we'll hear from experts about why we need to hear that, especially heading into the holidays. Maine Calling is just ahead. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What could be more welcome right now than some good news and positivity? Well, today we are going to talk about looking on the bright side and how that affects our well-being. Joining me, Todd Dowdy, who is author of the book, the new book, Little Pieces of Hope, How Happy Making Things in a Difficult World. I'm going to read it again. I read it wrong. Little Pieces of Hope. Happy Making Things in a Difficult World. He is Senior VP of Publicity at Doubleday also. And Tom McGowan, who is founder of the organization and blog All Things Good, based here in Maine. And Alan Bean Burpee, Director of Case Management Services for Maine Behavioral Healthcare. We invite your questions and comments. And most importantly, we invite your good news. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or give us a call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Alan, I'm going to start with you and ask you this question. I suspect there are eye rollers out there, people saying, oh my gosh, the last thing we need right now are Pollyannas. This is a very serious time. There are serious problems out there. I don't want somebody coming on the radio and telling me I need to be thinking happy thoughts. Tell me what we need to be saying to the eye rollers in the audience at this moment.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. So it's really funny because I was in a meeting recently where I referred to myself as Polly Allen, since I'm known for that. So I think, thinking happy thoughts does not mean not attending to things that aren't great, but it's really about where you choose to put your attention. And then we know that when we're thinking happy thoughts, we're thinking about positive things in our lives, that we produce more serotonin, less of the stress hormones, helps us even out to actually feel better.
And there's research behind this.
Absolutely. Positive thinking has been associated with better cardiac health, less depression, longer life.
Tom McGowan, I want to ask you about your project. Tell me how it got started.
Yeah, so I first started All Things Good when I was in college. It was kind of just a project I came up with. You know, I've always been, entrepreneur minded and wanted to create my own business.
And when you were at college at UMaine Farmington, right?
Yep. So UMaine Farmington, I then went to grad school to get my master's at Husson University. But when I was a senior at UMaine Farmington, wanted to create a business of some sorts. And when I was kind of analyzing the industry, I came across the media industry and it just seemed so negative. It seemed so one-sided. You know, it was, even back then, it was looking like media companies were positioning themselves to where it was kind of that media company said this, but then that media company said that. And instead of just, media news should be this collective source of information that is factual. And instead of it's just become opinionated where, you're a Fox News guy, I'm a CNN guy, we can't see eye to eye. And it just, for me to create All Things Good, I feel like it's a media company where it's just factual good news that people can actually connect with, instead of just like what you see with general media where people are actually like, they don't agree. And then next thing you know, they're just not friends or something. Like, I just think there needed to be a positive influence in the space.
So you have factual good news, you have a blog, and you have a podcast.
Yep. Yep. So we're on every social media. We have a podcast where we interview, you know, celebrities, you know, actors, philanthropists, some pretty big names that we've had on the podcast. And we're trying to get more into like a filmmaking news aspect as well.
And how's, what has the response been so far?
It's been really well, especially during COVID. You know, I think before COVID, we were at like 40,000 followers, and now we're at 217,000 followers. So I think kind of like what happened during COVID was a lot of people saw what I was seeing before, in terms of COVID was kind of just the ceiling that collapsed, I believe. So everyone was looking for more positivity during the pandemic.
Great. Well, hold on to your hat, Tom, because I'm going to ask you about some of your favorite stories in just a minute. But I want to turn to Todd Dowdy. I want to hear the story behind Little Pieces of Hope. And for those of you not familiar with the book, it's not a novel. It doesn't have chapters. It's the kind of book, Todd, that you pick up and you might read a page or two at a time. Tell me about this little yellow book I have in my hand.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I like to think of the Little Yellow Book as a daily devotional of delight. You can dip in and out at any point. You can read a page a day. This all came about due to a lightning bolt of inspiration on my commute home on Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. I was on Metro North, our commuter rail here in New York City. This was the day that the WHO declared the global pandemic. And things were changing very quickly and becoming very scary very quickly. And for some reason on the train, I decided to make a list of happy making things in a difficult world. And this was just a random scattershot list of things that have brought me joy in life. And that first list included things like the music intro to NPR's All Things Considered, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Stephen Sondheim, Stephen King's Twitter, an old gray muzzled dog with happy eyes, any movie of Katharine Hepburn's, but particularly her entrance in The Lion in Winter, from the mixed up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. And what happened that day after I posted that very first list is I noticed a lot of friends and family started commenting, and people started inserting their own happy making things. And what really struck me was on my Instagram, it's Todd A. Dowdy, there were a couple of comments from strangers who had done the same thing. And I thought, well, there's something here. So I just kept going and going and going, and almost did a daily list. And now 20 months later, it is a miracle that has happened, that it's become this book. And I've actually kept going throughout the entire pandemic. So it was kind of a rabbit hole of joy that I went down each day creating each list.
Wow. And you know, Todd, this is really something. I mean, it is a guide to almost the entire world. But since it is Thanksgiving week, I'm wondering if you would like to give us a Thanksgiving themed week to ponder.
Sure. So the book has tons of lists. About 50% of them are new. There are a bunch of longer form essays, and there are also some playlists, but there are some special edition lists. So this is the Thanksgiving list. Happy making things in a difficult world. Stuffing. Hosting. Not hosting. A drive without traffic. Falling asleep in the back seat. That moment when the last anticipated family member arrives. That moment when Santa arrives in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade floats chart north on Columbus Avenue the night before Thanksgiving, and hearing the jingle bells on Santa's sleigh. The Wheel episode of Mad Men, season 1, episode 13. Family photos, weather-beaten mums, turkey-shaped place cards made from the template of a child's hand. Seeing cousins you haven't seen in a while. Throwing all the coats on the bed in a pile, all the pies, all the sides, candied yams with walnuts on top, the fancy tablecloth, water goblets, holiday sweaters, awkward conversations, asking your senior relatives about their childhood and hearing a story you've never heard before, silently remembering those who've passed and missing them tremendously, stepping outside to cool off, figuratively or literally, Snoopy serving up popcorn, jelly beans, sundaes, and buttered toast, the ending of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, decorating the tree after dinner, and leftovers for dinner.
Mm. Can I add pie for breakfast to that?
Absolutely. 100% agree on that front.
Alan is an expert. What has Todd's List just done for all of us?
Yeah, so it really puts us in the place of appreciation and gratitude, right? Which is part of positive psychology. I have to tell you though that I read some of your book last night, Todd. I got to page 34. Yeah, and one of the first lists contains a song by Loretta Lynn, who I don't really know that much about. So I went and I listened to the song. So thank you. And then I thought, let me find an album of hers and listen to it while I read your book. So I put an album on, and the second track was that song, Keeping on the Sunny Side of Life. Mm-hmm. And I'm laughing out loud because that's exactly the experience that I was having. Again, that kind of connection to the moment, sort of staying in the moment, is for a lot of us what drives happiness. I was listening to Tom, your podcast, your conversation with Jacob Moore in August, and the last question you asked him was, tell me what happiness is for you. And his response was a version of like content, like being in the moment, which there's so much to distract us from that it's hard to get to that place. And I think that's part of, you know, listening to a great podcast and really your book, Todd, really does for us.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, the connection was really important to me. It really came about because of that specific moment last March. But the more I thought about it, a friend of mine said to me once, everybody carries an invisible bag of rocks. You can't see it. You don't know how heavy that burden is. And I really believe that. And the book really encapsulates those things that you cling to in life that get you through, you know, that song, that book, that painting, that memory, that recipe, you know, that article. And really, the book is about, there's like, I couldn't believe it when this happened, the copy editor sent it back to me. There are over 3,000 different items in the book for the reader to experience. And the fact that you went and found the song that you hadn't heard, we now are connected because of that. And we don't know each other, but I love that spirit of sort of sharing, you know, this time is so unprecedented, and it's caused us to all recalibrate. And one of the things that happened to me was the world shrunk quite a bit, as it did for everybody. And I began to notice the world in a very different way. Like, I'm a pack rat. I have tons of books. I have tons of articles that I've ripped out of magazines and saved them over the years, postcards of my favorite pieces of art. And that sort of going back and finding that thing that brings you joy was more important now than ever. And again, it doesn't have to be an unprecedented global pandemic. Like, it can be a regular old bad day, or if you are having a tough time, or even if you just want to celebrate a great day, a great point in your life.
Tom, okay, your turn. Tell us a good story, one of your favorite stories from your podcast or from your blog.
Oh, I have so many. I mean, there's a couple that stand out to me. In terms of the blog, I remember during the pandemic, there was one woman who reached out to me who was actually contemplating committing suicide when she was messaging me. And she said that she had rethought that, and her thoughts on humanity had changed since coming across All Things Good. And she just wanted to thank me for like the good news we put out there, because she was feeling really down on herself and humanity before she came across it. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, whether it's, you know, a book or, you know, a piece of media, a blog, you know, if there's something positive that you're, you know, that you're processing with your brain, it can be everything is like saving your life even. So, you know, something simple as like positivity like that can go a long way for someone.
Monica Wood, who is a well-known author in Maine, just wrote on Facebook, "We have a beautiful gray cat in our neighborhood who went missing a week ago. Everyone knows and loves this friendly cat named Jack. The posters went up, lots of false sightings, Jack was gone. 2 days ago, my husband came in and said, 'Did you see the poster about that cat?' I said, 'Yeah, he's missing.' My husband said, 'No, the poster says he came back.' Sure enough, Jack came back. This little story made me ridiculously happy." There you go, Tom. There's a story for the blog.
Yeah. I'll have to check that one out.
That's great. We'll go to Phil. Hold on just a second. Phil, oh, I'm having a little trouble with my, shoot, with my X screen there. We'll have to reboot that during the break. But here we've got an email from Zoe. "I am a proud eye roller generally. I have a desk job much of the year, but it is tipping season right now. And I've had the joy of outdoor work all day, harvesting balsam greens with my father and family friend. We sell bales of balsam greens to folks who make holiday wreaths and roping. I've noticed a reduction in my stress level, even when I'm back at my desk. Connecting with the land, working with our hands while we make each other laugh, and continuing a Maine tradition. These are all things that bring great joy and gratitude. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Alan."
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, we're hardwired to be on a lookout for danger and threat, right? Our amygdala is does its job really well. It's our alarm system. And we don't need to, so we touch something hot, it burns, we pull it back. Very quickly that memory gets stored in our long-term memory. But positive experiences take much, much longer to get in there. So that's why staying with it longer, really being intentional about reading good news, or, you know, reading Todd's book or listening to a heartfelt story, hanging in there long enough for that to get in. It takes a bit more intention than the paying attention to the not so great stuff.
Well, we are going to take it. Go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, it's interesting to hear about the balsam because I could immediately remember that smell. I'm here in my office, there's no balsam, but I was immediately connected to that. And I think that sensory memory is extremely important. You know, I have a bulletin board here that I'm looking at in my office of family photos, and there's a picture of me with my grandmother, Peggy, who passed away a few years ago. And behind her in the background of the shot is a red velvet layer cake, and she made 7 layers, my favorite dessert. That's still to this day my favorite. I wrote about it and her in the book. I can smell that cake, I can taste that cake, and it takes me back to a very happy time. So I think those sensory memories are also extremely important.
Before we go to a break, I'm going to try and see if we can go to Phil from Camden. Phil, are you there?
I am.
Great. Go ahead.
So my story comes from a group that I joined on Zoom last night, Building Bridges Maine, whose whole goal is to kind of bring the temperature down in politics. And I really just wanted to tell the story of this woman last night who, on her way into Augusta a while ago, passed a group of cars. It was on an overpass. They were taking out banners, anti-mask, anti-vax. And she pulled over, and she went over to the first car and spoke to the woman and said, "We may disagree on a lot of things, but I'm so tired of talking to people who think the same way I do." And to her surprise, the woman said, "I am too." And they proceeded to have a wonderful, actually, group discussion and became friends who share their views without being disagreeable. And I'm just grateful that there's a group like Building Bridges Maine in Maine, so that we can maybe have a chance of bringing red and blue together.
Well, thank you, Phil, for calling in. We are going to go to a break now. If you have something to talk about, some good news, some positive thoughts, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance with careers in home energy efficiency renovation. Learn more at evergreenyourhome.com/careers and by Bull Moose, celebrating the tactile experience of reading and proponents of dog ears and bookmarks. Learn more at bullmoose.com.
For business owners across Maine, Maine Public's audience is your audience.
Hi, I'm Lisa Steele. I am the founder of Fresh Eggs Daily. The Maine Public audience is people who are engaged in their communities and they want to make a difference. They want to live better lives, and those are the people that I'm trying to reach. I've been a Maine Public underwriter for 3 years, and I'm super happy with the results. They're a great organization to work with.
Visit us at mainepublic.org to get started.
The weather is turning colder, Thanksgiving is almost here, and the Maine Public Holiday Classical Stream is back to lighten your mood and help you get in the holiday spirit. This locally curated stream offers a delightful selection of seasonal music for you to enjoy. That's the Maine Public Classical Holiday Stream, available now at mainepublic.org and on the Maine Public app.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about looking on the bright side, good news, happy thoughts, and focusing on the positive, how it can truly be helpful. My guest, Tom McGowan, who is founder of the media company All Things Good. Alan Bean Burpee, who is director of case management services at Maine Behavioral Healthcare. And Todd Dowdy, who is author of the new book, Little Pieces of Hope. Share your comments or questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can comment on our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now, Robin Ivy Payton. She is a DJ with WMPG. She's a well-known yoga instructor and somebody I have known for a long time. Hi, Robin. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, Jen. It has been a long time. I was thinking about that. Fun fact.
I know.
That we
I think
were
it was my freshman year in
college.
That's right. My college is freshman year in college. Robin and I were college DJs together. So I invited you to call in because I noticed that a few days ago when we were planning this program, you had no way of knowing that, but out of the blue, you posted on Facebook, "Tell me something good." What prompted you to do that?
Oh, maybe you prompted me and I didn't know it. I had the song in my head, like that Chaka Khan song in my head, and I also like the idea of every once in a while popping in and saying, like, what's going on with everybody, you know? I like social media because it helps us keep up with people that we wouldn't always see, and then when you do see those people or that person, it feels like there's less catching up to do, and it's more like you're able to say, oh, that's so cool. You have a new nephew, or how are your kids, or how's your parent doing, you know, that was ill or whatever. So I just posted it, but maybe it was a psychic thing and I didn't know it.
So what kind of responses did you get? Did you get any favorites? What was violating any personal stuff?
No. Yeah. I got a lot of responses. I think that, some people are really happy about the weather, whether it's because it's been sort of warm or because it's getting cooler. Like someone said, they were doing their first couple of ski runs and that makes them happy. I think there's a broader thing that connects to that, which is that people feel like they can get out more this year. And I don't mean just outdoors, but I think people are going back and doing things they love again. You know, last year, a lot of things didn't happen at this time of year. And now, because many people got vaccinated, things are happening again that people missed. So people talked about creating, whether that was creating, like they're creating crafts, like making things that they love to do, that they love to make, or that they're creating a business that last year maybe would not have been the right timing for. So I definitely got comments about creating. And then I would say, like, community. People are thankful for each other and being able to be in supportive communities again. And that includes music because, you know, a lot of my friends are in the music community. And so people creating music again together, having band practices, playing music, and also then, of course, being able to maybe see music sometimes safely again. So those are some of the things that get people responded with. And then also, like, the health of loved ones, like people recovering from illnesses or people recovering from accidents, things like that. And people are thankful that their loved ones are, let's say, for example, home again.
Yeah. Alan, you have a question for Robin.
Yeah. Robin, could you share how it felt as you read those responses from people?
Well, it felt like a smile, you know? I mean, I'm smiling that you asked that question. That made me smile and sort of laugh a little, like it feels like a smile. And then that vibrates on and on, right?
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Robin, before I let you go, what are you thinking about as you head into this holiday weekend?
What am I thinking about? Well, one thing I'm thinking about is whether I'm actually going to go into the grocery store. But other than that, in a more broad sense, I think, you know, I'm feeling thankful for a lot of the same things that I just mentioned. I'm really, I'm going into this weekend thinking, wow, last year it was really challenging to get together or figure out how I was going to see anyone in my family. And in fact, at Thanksgiving, we didn't really do Thanksgiving with others at all. So I'm thinking it's great that I can get together with my parents this year and actually eat with them. Last year, we brought them dinner and left. So I'm thinking things are, in certain senses, better now than they were a year ago.
Well, Robin, thank you for being game and calling in. Robin,
anytime.
Ivy, Peyton. Yeah, Robin, you may have had a yoga class from her, may have heard her on WMPG or another radio station. Thanks so much for calling in. Now calling in Paul Merrill, Director of Communications for the Maine Department of Transportation. Thanks for calling in, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I understand that you and your colleagues are the ones behind the highway signs that have fun sayings on them, the ones with the puns or the clever messages that make you smile. Tell us how those came about. What's the story behind the signs?
Well, it's something that I inherited when I joined the department about 2.5 years ago. And, you know, our chief engineer and our creative services staff had started this a number of years ago just to try to share funny messages or, you know, stuff that makes you smile on the roadways. They all, by law, have to deal with safety. So they're all related to traffic safety. We have done some COVID ones, but we're not planning any of those this weekend. It's all traffic safety messages, and we have fun coming up with them, and we sort of circulate an email with internal voting ahead of the weekends that we're going to do the messages. And we get overwhelming positivity from folks, although we do get some negativity. And my theory on that is, you know what, if you're complaining that you think the signs are dumb or you think they're, you know, not worth our time to put them up, at least I've got you talking about safety in some fashion. So if it stops one person from picking up a phone to send a text or makes somebody think to move over if there's law enforcement on the side of the road or a DOT road crew, whether you like the signs or hate the signs, if you're paying attention to them and talking about them, we've got you.
So that's how it works. There's sort of an internal pool, a voting pool between you winnow them down from a whole bunch of possibilities.
Yeah, and we do some brainstorming, and we've got some of the perennial favorites. Mashed potatoes, not your car, is on the list for this weekend. I don't know if it's going to make it, but then we're always trying to come up with new stuff. And you know, somebody in my office sent a couple ideas, and he said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever sent you, but here you go." And my response was, "I love it." So the punnier the better. And you know, we do have some of the ones that are too inside baseball, or we're trying to get stuff that most people will get a reference if we're doing some sort of pop culture reference, but the stuff that's not going to land with the big audience, we just print it up and put it on the wall of shame in our office.
So so are you going to tell us what's going up for Thanksgiving weekend, or do we have to wait and be surprised?
The verdict is still out. We sent an email to some of our traffic engineers and our chief engineer and our deputy commissioner just for their input. So So the voting is underway. We told them we need their input by 3 o'clock today. But my favorite one on there is a new one. I'm not sure if it's going to make the cut, but it's Slow Your Roll, R-O-L-L. There's Plenty of Time, T-H-Y-M-E. That's a new one. We're not sure if it's going to make it, but that was my vote went for that one. Slow Your Roll, There's Plenty of Time with Thanksgiving spelling references.
Okay, so I want to know a couple from the Wall of Shame. Can you share any of those?
I don't know if I should. No, mostly it's like pop music that people won't like, stuff that's you know, put together by millennials that won't necessarily land with a broader audience. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head that's share worthy. Some of them are just painfully unfunny, and we sometimes try to land with a good joke and it falls flat, and then we celebrate the failure. We print it up and we hang it on the wall. A number of years ago, I know that somebody wanted to put something about Hakuna Matata, which I think is pretty universally understood, but not everybody agreed. So the Hakuna Matata is actually on the Wall of Shame, but I think that that one is okay, but it never got put on the highway message boards.
Okay. Is there a best of all time? Is there one that just everybody loves and you hear from people every time you put it up there?
I think the one, well, this one we can't use anymore for, you'll understand after I explain it, or I guess we could, but we won't. I think one of the most popular ones was 87 is Gronk's number, not the speed limit. And I guess we still could use that, but we probably wouldn't since he's now headed south for a warmer climate. I think that was the most popular one. Yeah.
I like it. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Paul.
We have fun. Thanks for having me. Have a good holiday.
Thank you, Paul Merrill with the Department of Transportation. One mystery solved today on Main Calling. I love it. We'll go to, I'm hoping to go to June from Caribou. Hoping I'm not able to click on that myself. Let's see. June in Caribou, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Just want to share that I prefer the word optimism to positivity, because with optimism, you can see the negatives and you do your best to handle the negatives while still seeing the positives and heading in an optimistic direction. It's like sailing. When you seeing the negatives is a good thing, because you want to navigate around boulders and boundaries. And seeing the positives, like a great wind, helps you go farther faster. But there is great danger in the denial of negatives, danger in the lives of individuals, families, communities, and very dangerous to the people of nations who need to see the negatives in their government in order to correct it. And denial of negatives also leads us to abdicating duties to ourselves and each other, and it leads to blame of people who point out dangers, and also blame of people in any negative circumstance. So yes, energetically, emotionally rise above hard circumstances, but we have to see reality and fight being sucked into fantasy. And especially corporate news media can suck us into specifically directed and disempowered fear. And then people escape quite hard into corporate created fantasy.
Tom McGowan.
Yeah, I mean, going off of what she said, you know, about optimism, you know, I think optimism and positivity, you know, they have a lot of similarities, but, you know, like she mentioned, they are a little bit different. My only thing is with, you know, I mean, I'm a naturally very optimistic person, but kind of what I've learned the past year is you have to be cautiously optimistic, because sometimes our optimism can blind us from maybe what's actually going on. You know, I wasn't sure if she was saying that that's what she thought about optimism or positivity. I think they kind of both are like that, in terms of, you know, you don't want to be positive 24/7. I mean, that might be hard anyways, but you know, you have to kind of approach optimism and positivity, you know, both cautiously.
Alan Bede Burpee.
Yeah, so June brings up a really good point, and this is where the eye rolls often come from, is when folks think that, or they view positivity or optimism as denying reality. And that's it's a really good point. And I would say that for those things we don't have control over, that I sort of view positivity as sort of a radical acceptance. Okay, this is happening, and then what can I do with it? But she's right. We wouldn't want to deny deny what's happening and potentially harm folks.
And Todd, you're nodding as well.
Yeah, I think it goes back to that notion that I mentioned a little bit earlier of that thing that got you through. It's not denying that negative thing that has happened or the negative impact that has happened in a life, in a day, in a circumstance. It is what carries you to the other side of that, what brings you through. And, you know, that could be anything. That could be memories and families and friends and movies and TV shows and books and things like that. I mean, I think that those touchstones are very important in life.
And, you know, Robin mentioned a grocery store, going to the grocery store. So here's a great example. Going to the grocery store, the line is really long. And so, sure, we could have lots of thoughts about that. One option is, I have never before realized how important these jobs here are. And I'm so grateful for the clerk that showed up today for this line. You're gonna wait anyway. So why not choose the thought that leads you to, you know, a better feeling?
We're going to take another break. We're talking about positivity on Maine Calling today. When we come back, more of your questions and comments.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and dedicated to creating a community where residents are free to pursue their passions. And by Real Maine, a program of the Maine Bureau of Agriculture, connecting you to products from Maine's harvest season. RealMaine.com.
I'm Scott Tong. Thinking of retiring early? It's tempting. Well, millions of Americans have quit their jobs in the pandemic, and many are early retirees. Washington Post financial columnist Michelle Singletary tells us what to think about before joining the Great Resignation. That's next time on Here and Now.
And stay with us Here and Now, upcoming shortly at 12 noon today here on Maine Public Radio. If you have an Alexa-powered device, like an Amazon Echo or a Google Home smart speaker, you can easily find Maine Public Radio whenever and wherever you'd like with a single command. Visit mainepublic.org for helpful tips on accessing Maine Public Radio on your voice-activated device.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling today on the program, The Glass Half Full, Making Lemons into Lemonade. We are talking about positivity and its role during difficult times like these. Joining us, Alan Bean Burpee with Maine Behavioral Healthcare, Todd Dowdy, author of the new book, Little Pieces of Hope, and Tom McGowan with the blog and podcast, All Things Good. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, talk@mainepublic.org. If you're quick, you can tweet at Maine Calling or post to Facebook or Instagram. We're going to go to Vinny, who's calling from Brownfield. Hi, Vinny. Go ahead.
Hi. I was listening to the show previous to this on Point, and they had a roundtable talk with our Governor Janet Mills and other officials from other parts of the country, and the discussion was about the bipartisan infrastructure money and how they were also enthusiastically optimistic about spending the money on projects that have been put aside, roads, public transportation, EV stations for electric vehicles, and so it was really a positive show to listen to and a positive outlook, and I'm always grateful that you take my calls. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Vinny. Going to go here to Joe, an email. Balancing gratitude with mindfulness, that is also mentioned in Tuesdays with Maury, the best-selling memoir of all time, of feeling our thought feelings fully for a brief moment before letting them go, and then letting go sometimes instead of trying to be positive, which is good, of course, but sometimes just slowing down on all our effort and trying and just seeing what happens. The push to practice gratitude is generally appreciated, but adding the balance of not trying and looking directly at our monsters because they offer a gift too is good balance to gratefulness, practice? Going to you, Alan Bean Burpee.
Yeah, so that's, when we think about those things that help to us to build resilience and to stay sort of in a positive place. So as I said earlier, sort of staying in the good, you know, when you can really notice the things that are going well, writing things down you're grateful for is another one. Trying to not get stuck in self-criticism, practicing self-compassion, maybe limiting our time with cynics or pessimists, and actually being generous can absolutely be helpful in generating those good feelings.
We'll go to Sharon, who's calling from Bangor.
Good morning. I would like to differentiate between happiness and joy. Last year, in May of 2020, I was laying in a rehab facility in Boston from an eye injury. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't do anything. I had gotten COVID. The staff in that place were amazing. About half of them were Haitian Americans. They were walking around. I joked about them being Donald Duck because they were covered from head to toe. And all I could think of was how proud I was to be an American. That gives me great, great joy. So Memorial morning, I laid there and I sang God Bless America. And this woman came in who was one of the staff members, and she thanked me. She said, oh, she said, you made my day. And that gave me happiness. I think there's a difference between the two. And I think that joy is that internal feeling that we have when we think about our love for nature or the proudness to be an American or whatever it might be that you might be thinking of. But happiness is a spur-of-the-moment thing, like the gentleman who mentioned the found cat, things like that. Thank you for your time.
Tom McGowan.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, you know, I like the point she made. I think joy is more so short term. You know, if someone does something for you, it brings you great joy. But when it comes to happiness, I think it's more of a long term objective. You know, I have many things throughout my day that bring me joy that I might do, you know, go outside, go hiking, but that's not gonna, for me at least, that's not gonna completely make my life overall happy. I think if you do enough things that give you joy, it can ultimately lead to long-term happiness.
All righty. Thank you so much for that call. Let's see, trying to figure out where to go next. I'm having a little bit of technical problem here. My producers are helping me out. Today I'm feeling grateful for the help of producers Cindy Hahn and Jonathan Smith, but I'll go to this message here from Bill. If we don't break from the downward spiral of conversations, we're in deep trouble. This has encouraged me to upgrade how I communicate with persons who think differently from me, starting with a potentially difficult Thanksgiving gathering. Well, thank you, Bill, for saying that, and we're happy to be helpful. And Alan, I'll turn to you for this because, boy, a lot of people are, you know, we are grateful to be gathering again for Thanksgiving, but for a lot of people, this is going to be a challenging holiday. So maybe a little advice today.
Yeah, you know, I have a really great, I love my dad. He's a great guy. We love and respect each other very much. And we don't agree on a whole lot politically, which is just fine. So I think as we're on the table, you know, being mindful of why we're there and our connections to people that really do supersede some of our superficial, maybe even opinions about things.
Okay, we are going to go to Sarah from Bangor. Hi, Sarah, go ahead.
Hi there. So I'm curious about how to talk with people who, despite their best efforts, seem somewhat bent on being negative, on seeing the negative, without sounding glib or dismissive. How do you help nudge people who are maybe not conditioned to be very positive?
Actually, I'm going to go right back to you for that, Alan.
Yeah. So the first thing is you have to want to be nudged. So, you know, if someone's not sort of open to thinking about things differently, it's not maybe the best investment of your time, except keep being yourself. Keep it, you know, you be your authentic self. And if there may be a day when the light comes on and they join you in the boat.
Todd, have you ever foisted one of your happy making lists on somebody who's grumpy?
I don't think I've done that, but I have done the thing of where you share something you love. Read this, watch this, make this recipe, look at this thing, you know, listen to this song. I think that it's helpful to share the things that bring you joy, happiness, with others. You know, I wouldn't say it was a list per se, but I think items on the list I have definitely shared.
We'll go to Sarah from Bangor. Hi, Sarah, go ahead. Sarah, are you there? Oh, darn, we lost Sarah. We'll go to Kat from Camden. Hi, Kat, go ahead.
Hey, first time caller, long time lover. My great aunt was Shirley Jackson. She volunteered and helped out at a co-op. Anyway, before I start crying, there's this great song by Rich Mullins, Brother's Keeper, and Jethro Tull, Songs from the Wood. And they've helped us. They've helped me. Yeah, I'm a 30-year-old millennial, and I'm terrified of the phone, so I'm going to hang up. But those songs have really helped me, and they're beautiful songs, and they're really great to just play in the background while you're making some chocolate chip cookies. And thanks for having me.
Oh, Kat, thank you so much for calling in. And Todd, you name a lot of songs.
I do, and a shout out to Kat's great aunt, Shirley Jackson, is in the book as well. Yeah, there are plenty of songs. There are 8 different playlists. There's a holiday playlist. There's a Jolt of Joy playlist. There's a quiet playlist. Music is that thing that impacts all of us very differently. You know, one of the things that's interesting, I think, about the creative arts is that it exists in 2 spheres. It's the product that the person who makes it creates. And then there's the act of listening, and we each bring our own individual experiences to that. You know, there's an essay in the book I write about that song. And that song for me, 26 years ago, was Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. And it got me through a breakup. And I think that, you know, music is that connective thing. You can instantly go back to that time in your life when you were in college or when you were at the wedding. Everybody has their wedding song, right? Like, you know what that is. You have your song as a couple. You have mixtapes that you shared. For those of us of a certain generation that had actual cassettes over the years, I guess you would call that a Spotify playlist nowadays. But music is that connective tissue.
And Tom, so I'm guessing you're not in the mixtape generation, but music is that connective tissue for you as well.
Yeah, I'm more of a Spotify guy, but, you know, that's just kind of, you know, it's just why the beautiful thing about art is everyone perceives it differently. So 2 of us could listen to the same song, but have completely different meanings and, you know, kind of what it does for us, you know, from a happiness perspective. So I think it's cool that she has, you know, a song that, you know, takes her back or reminds her of things.
You know, being a child of the 80s, Jennifer, I was very familiar with the phrase, you are what you eat. But it's also true, you are what you think, and you are what's around you. And so we have, to the extent we have control over what we listen to, what we have up in our surroundings that gives us joy, all of those things can really be prophylactic and bring joy.
We're going to go to Ashley, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Ashley. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I really appreciate what the guests are talking about in terms of embracing positivity and how we kind of have an individual responsibility in that. But I would like to push back a little bit, you know, especially
Ashley,
about,
you're kind of hard to hear. Can you kind of adjust where your phone is to your mouth, or if there's some wind right there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Much better.
Okay, sorry about that. So I guess ultimately I just want to say that I think that access to mental health services really plays an important role in this. and the access is just so limited right now. So many people could, you know, need to see mental health professionals and their insurance doesn't cover it, or they just can't find a person. So I really think that that plays a big role in people's ability to, you know, rethink their lives and to not, you know, be self-critical, to get rid of those thoughts, because some of them are, you know, lifelong things that people are dealing with.
Sure. And I can see all of our guests on Zoom right now, and you ought to know that everyone, not to quote Alanis Morissette, but everybody is nodding. Alan.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. We, access to care is a real challenge. We try to be as creative as we can in our organizations, and I know, you know, a lot of the agencies across the state are doing everything they can to expand care. But the reality is, so this is sort of the radical acceptance piece, is that the demand is exceeding the supply at the moment.
We'll go to Abby, who's calling from Jefferson. Hi, Abby, go ahead. Oh, hold on. We're going to wait just a second. Abby in Jefferson, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm responding to the last caller and then also the caller that called in asking.
Abby, you are cutting in and out. Is there a way to improve your...
Is any better?
Well, try your best. Go ahead. No, we've lost you altogether. Darn. That's not going to work. Oh, well. Well, we can be grateful for when we do have callers that do go through and do work. And we'll try, hopefully, be able to get Abby back in just a minute, though we are toward the end of the program here. Well, what I would like to do, since we have about a minute left, is go to you, Todd, and you have so many wonderful lists in the program. I'm hoping that maybe you can bless us with one more that's about, I don't know, 45 seconds long.
Do my best. This is one of the lists called Things You Might Consider Doing Today. Connect. Make that phone call. Eat dinner by candlelight, but eat dessert first and play some Billie Holiday while you do. Lady in Autumn, the best of the Verviers. Clean out your spice rack. Look at some old pictures that bring back happy times. Start organizing the photos in your phone into digital albums. Play a game of Scrabble. Watch the job switching episode of I Love Lucy, season 2, episode 1. Throw out that book you can't get into and start a new one. Send 3 postcards to someone you love that separately say I and love and you. Give an hour to yourself. Think about trying something new. Look at that 1932 Berenice Abbott photo, Night View, New York. Go outside at dusk and listen to the birdsong. Make someone laugh. Read Mary Oliver's poem, The Uses of Sorrow. Fix something that needs to be fixed. Listen to Gilda Radner's recording of Let's Talk Dirty to the Animals. Give your pet some extra treats. Drop off a small gift at your neighbor's front door and don't ring the bell. Move forward, but keep looking back in that rearview mirror to remember how far you've come. Then rinse and repeat after me. It's never too late.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling. Thank you all.